hearts receptive. And I just want to read a psalm real quick as I was preparing this morning and thinking. In Psalm 33. And I always say this, it's, I'm so glad this body loves the Word of God. Psalms 33, sing for joy. We were doing that this morning. Sing for joy in the Lord, you righteous ones. Any righteous ones in the house? Praise is becoming to the upright. Man, this is what we do. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Sing praises to Him with a harp and 10 strings. Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. For the word of the Lord is right. Amen. The word of the Lord is right. And all His work is done in faithfulness. He loves uprightness and justice. Psalms 33. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Did you know that the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord? By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. You want to know about truth, how this world was made here today? If you want to know truth about how this world, this earth we're on, came into existence, just listen to the truth of the word of God. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. Can I get an amen? And by the breath of His mouth, all their lights, the stars, the heavens. He gathers the waters at the sea together as a heap. He puts the depths in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke and it was done. Amen. He commanded and it stood firm. The Lord nullifies the plan of nations. Listen to this. I don't care what's going on in the world today. Nothing happens without God knowing about it. I don't care what's going on in Russia. I don't care what's going on in Ukraine. I pray for what's going on there. I pray for my brothers and sisters there. I don't care what's going on in Turkey or Iran or what China's doing. As we see all the nations of the world right now starting to build up their armies again, as great fear has come upon this world, the Church of Jesus Christ is going to stand up in boldness and grace and mercy and not have any fear except for the fear of the Lord, knowing that He is coming again and we shall see Him face to face. We'll let our God and our King take care of what's going on around the world. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I can trust Him. As fear surrounds this world, overtakes this world today, peace upon the believer. My prayer this morning is as we go through this message, which I haven't even got to yet, that peace will overcome you. Amen. That fear will be uprooted and cast out of your mind and out of your heart in Jesus' name. And the love and the peace of God will settle upon you and I. That His peace will settle upon us. Amen. Amen. The Lord nullifies the plan of nations. He frustrates the plans of peoples. The plan of the Lord stands forever. The plans of His heart from generation to generation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Man, I remember that when I was a young kid. I remember barely, but I remember black and white televisions. And I remember like midnight, if you wanted to see TV after midnight, tough luck. And the last thing that would come on the screen, it would say, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Blessed is the nation. Well, I'm still declaring that this morning amongst a group of believers. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Thank you, Father God, that it's not too late for our nation. Thank you that it's not too late for our schools. Thank you it's not too late in your circumstances either with your children, your grandchildren, and all that pertains to you. Thank you, Jesus. It is not too late. Not even close. In a minute, God can change things. In our own strength, we can strive and do our best. But in a minute, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the power of God can change everything in our lives. And often, that's how He works. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of mankind from His dwelling place. He looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all. He who understands all their works. The king is not saved by a mighty army. Listen to this. This is good. The king, not any nation, is not saved by a mighty army. A warrior is not rescued by a great strength. A horse is a false hope for victory. nor does it rescue anyone by its own strength, by its great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who wait for his faithfulness. And saints, he is faithful to rescue their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. I don't care what comes upon this nation, he will keep us alive no matter the circumstances. Even in the middle of famine, he will keep us alive. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Amen. For our hearts rejoices in him, our provider, because we trust in his holy name. Let your favor, Lord, be upon us. Say that, Lord, let your favor be upon us. Just as if we have waited for you and waited upon you. Thank you for your favor this morning, Lord. Thank you for your anointing this morning. Thank you for your strength this morning. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. And I rebuke that spirit of fear this morning in the name of Jesus. And I rebuke a religious spirit that says, oh, I can't do anything. I've got to stay right where I'm at. I'm telling you, religion will keep you in fear. But I do not have a fear of what God's going to do in his church in this coming hour. I don't know what it'll look like, but he does. I just know I don't want to miss it. And I know that I don't want to be bound by fear or a religious spirit that I can't move forward. I don't want to be blind to what he's going to do. How about you? He's a good, good father. And we walk in the spirit and we live in the spirit because his Holy Spirit dwells in us. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Now we can get to the message. Amen. This morning, I want to start a new series on the book of Ruth. And I want to start the Ruth, the story of continual redemption. The story of continual redemption. And pray for me that I can lay this out and give me a little bit of time as I start laying a foundation of what's going on here, okay? I want to say this. How many of you were praying for rain? Like remember the 1st of July, it was like, man, we're not going to have any rain. You remember that? Because usually it'll start raining by the 4th of July, and then 4th of July came around, it was like, no rain. Then I started hearing that we might not have rain, but how many know that we've had some rain this summer? Hallelujah. If you said, I'm sorry, I'm getting sick of the rain, man, Lord, thank you for the rain. Thank you for the rain. Matthew 5:45 says this, so that you may prove yourself to be sons of your Father, who is in heaven. He causes his Son to rise on the evil and the good and sends, who sends? God. And sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. You know what? Our prayer for rain and our prayer for his bounty on this land of ours means that the blessing that God gives us through prayer also, you know who gets to take advantage of that? The unbeliever. Those who don't know God. Those who even today who are standing up and saying, you know, God, the strength of this nation is because of our own wisdom, our own doing, don't realize that it was actually based upon those who know Jesus Christ, based upon Judeo-Christian philosophies and truths and the things that made this nation great. That is our foundation. And it's the same thing today. You and I praying, even for simply for rain. Man, I look at the rain that we had here and say, God, you answered our prayer. And my prayer is that the world, those that don't know him, would realize he's a good, good father. He's the one that provided that rain. He's the one that even rains on the just and the unjust, on the godly and on the ungodly. Thank you, Jesus, for the rain. See, the believer prays for rain, but the unbelieving environmentalist believes they can control the weather somehow through global warming initiatives. That's no God, no responsibility to God, and certainly no second coming of Christ. But I believe that the spiritual condition of an individual affects the natural around them. How about you? It has to. It's a blessing of God. I believe that the spiritual condition of a family affects the natural around them. I believe that the spiritual condition of a nation affects the natural around them. The blessing of us having given our hearts to the Lord. And those that are praying for this nation, we got to remember that God is still a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, those who pursue him. Did you know God still answers prayer? Do you believe that? So this way I can say, we can give thanks to God for the rain. Amen. Can we say, thank you, Lord Jesus? realizing, God, you're the one that sends the bounty. I don't know about you, but that's what I believe. Amen and amen. When I'm reading an account in the Bible, the Old Testament, I always look for and search out a Christology or Christology application. As an example, in 1 Corinthians 10:4, what an amazing scripture here. It says, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ. Well, this was Paul. He was talking about the children of Israel and the children of Israel being in the desert, right? And it says here, and so who would have thought that that spiritual rock was Christ Jesus? And it not only says that that rock was Jesus, but it said that it followed them. It followed them. That rock followed them. So when I'm looking in the Old Testament, these things that we're reading, I'm always looking of what it means in Christ. But here's the wonderful thing now. Jesus is no longer following us. He's leading us. Now he's leading us. So I'm looking for those things in the Old Testament about Jesus Christ and about today and about yours and my walk with the Lord and what he's doing in the church. I'm looking for how those scriptures of how he's leading us today. That was the old covenant, him following. The new covenant, 2 Corinthians 2:14. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. And through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. And it goes on to say that those who don't know him, the fragrance of Christ, it smells like death. But to those who know him, it's a fragrant of life and a flow of his Holy Spirit, his goodness and his truth. Amen? Amen. So I'm always looking. So as I began to read the book of Ruth, that's where the Lord said, park right here. Park right here. So I was just reading that over and over and over again until he started laying out to me as far as this continual redemption. The book of Ruth, it's just four chapters. Jewish tradition has that the prophet Samuel is the author of the book of Ruth. The events of Ruth occur between 1160 BC and 1100 BC, they say, during the latter period of the Judges. So even though it was written, we'll see that it was written after there was some king, a king in Israel, this is regarding a time when there was just the Judges and Saul wasn't king yet. And then we'll see that this family goes to Moab, which was a son of Lot. Remember Lot and his ancestral relationship with his two daughters, through one of those daughters where we get the Moabites, who were no friend of Israel. And so this is where we go. We start out in verse one. The number one point is called famine. And as I get through it, I want to say that famine, and let me lay it out, famine isn't always a bad thing. And you're saying, but I'll get there. Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 and 5. Now it came about in the days when the judges governed that there was a famine in the land. And a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to reside in the land of Moab with his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. So they were Ephrathites of Bethlehem in Judah. So they entered the land of Moab and remained there, and they built a life there. So there was this famine that had been going on in Israel. We don't know why they decided to leave Israel and go to a country that wasn't exactly a friend of Israel. But they went there, and who knows, at the time they first went, maybe they thought, oh, we'll just be here for a short time. But then they built a life there, so they end up staying there. So they built a life there. And then in verse 3, it says, then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left with her two sons. And they took for themselves Moabite women as wives, verse 3. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they lived there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. And the woman was left without her two sons, and her husband. Wow. So you look at that in the natural and say, man, what a bummer. But as I started looking at it spiritually, and what God is doing even today in his church, I got very excited. You see, the meaning of the names in this story, in this account, tell a different story. Naomi means my pleasant one and my lovely one. You and I are a pleasant one and a lovely one to the Lord. Can I get an amen there? We better be, amen. And Elimelech means my God is king. And what Naomi had been relying on was suddenly gone. What was her support, her provision, what Naomi was hoping to count on for a lifetime was suddenly gone. Her secure future had vanished. I believe what Naomi had experienced in the natural is what many in the church are experiencing in the spiritual. Hear me out. Examples, what we had counted on in this government, our life seems to have been ripped out from under our feet, and we see the social fabric of society, of morality, trust in God, a hope and a future, in some ways, to some degree, coming undone. In God we trust now sometimes seems like a long-lost slogan just for a few in the church. What we had seen in the past as security seems like it has vanished. Whether it be Disney, do I have to go on? The Boy Scouts and what they stand for now. I'm just giving you some examples. The Girl Scouts, even the Young Men's Christian Association, which stands for YMCA. The things that have been undone in the fabric of society, not to mention social media platforms that are silencing a large portion of this country, things have changed, saints. You know, we know this has been a design by the enemy. So the things like just a few years ago, Disney. I never thought I would have to sit down with my granddaughters and say, hey, we can't watch this movie. Well, why, Papa? And I never thought I would have to explain why they can't watch a movie that recently came out. Or the boys, the assault on the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts, where now they can have homosexuality or lesbian just being infiltrated and being indoctrinated and saying, you're going to do this, you're going to allow this amongst your ranks, or we will shut you down. I would never have dreamt that at one time. Amen. Or there are still people waiting for things to go back to the way they were before. Amen. Or we have been a Christian for a long period of times, and through circumstances, events in our lives, or even through the ho-hum of the daily grind in life, we find ourselves suddenly spiritually dry. Anybody have areas of that? I talk to a lot of people. I promise I'm going there. Things don't seem the same, and maybe we can't even put a finger on it, but things just do not seem the same in our walk with the Lord. The Elimelech, my God is king, seems to have been shaken in our lives. There's still people waiting for things to go back to the way they were before. The Elimelech, the way things were before, I don't think we will see again to the like we did before. Does that mean God's not going to move? No. What if inflation doesn't subside? I'm just giving you examples. What if unemployment begins to rise significantly like the Fed wants it to? Raising interest rates, printing money, and then raising interest rates, and then you've got this oxymoron going on in the middle. See, there might even be, this is what I see going on, and it's a good thing. There is a restlessness in the spirit of man and in the church, and even in my own soul, saying, I'm not sure what's going on. But what worked in my walk with the Lord before just doesn't seem to work anymore. There has to be more. There's got to be more for the church. And what I've had is I've had a dissatisfaction. And I'm going to tell you that's okay. When there's a dissatisfaction and there's something in the soul saying, Lord, there's got to be more. Of course I love his grace and his grace has changed me. Of course I know that he's changed an area of my life. But there is begin a dissatisfaction in my soul saying, Lord, is this all there is for the church? Is this all there is for my life? Is this all I'm going to see in my family? And go year after year after year. And finally I have to admit, say, Lord, I've got a dissatisfaction in my heart and soul area. And I'm going to tell you, that's a good thing. because there's a dissatisfaction that happens in the body of Christ, and it has to grow before things change. It's the truth. It's the truth. And so it can seem like almost like a famine in the soul, like a sentence of death. Like me saying this morning that, like I said, that's not necessarily a bad thing. 2 Corinthians 1:8-10, there's a shaking going on. Or even what, this is what Paul said. It says, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, of our affliction which occurred in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who," what? "Raises the dead, who rescues us from so great a danger of death, and we will will rescue us. He on whom we have set our hope, and yet he will deliver us." He talked about a dissatisfaction that had crept in his soul. And he says, you know, that had happened. The Lord allowed that to happen because the only option we had was saying, "Lord, I give this to you. Lord, I give this circumstance to you. Lord, I give this nation to you. Lord, there's a dissatisfaction that I cannot cure, even all the things I'm involved in, even the things that I'm doing myself. There's something that I can't do that only the Spirit of God can do." And I believe that's what God is getting ready to do. And myself saying, "Lord, is this all there is to it? Is this all there is to your church?" No. A dissatisfaction saying, "Man, I'm getting ready to do a new thing." Hallelujah. You know, I love church history. Like the Reformation of Martin Luther. You remember? I love that church history. But just think, if all we had today was the Lutheran church, you and I cannot live off of yesterday's leading of the Holy Spirit. You know, that great Reformation movement, and then God began to reveal more truth. And that group that had been revealed, that great Reformation, said, "Nope, we're stopping here, no more. This is last of what God has to offer." They didn't go forward. There's always a danger that when God begins to move again, there's always going to be a group of people saying, "Nope, we have everything we need. There's not any more truths. There's not any more revelation. There's not anything different, more different that God can do." And that's why you get denominations that become denominations and stay stuck in yesteryear. Amen? I don't know about you, but I don't want to be an individual or a church that stays stuck in yesteryear. We're always going to be a church that's based upon the grace of God that saves, but there is an anointing of power and an initiation of the Holy Spirit that sent people into what God has given them for their lives. Amen? For each individual, not just the man behind the pulpit or Sunday school teacher, but the plumber, the electrician, name it down the road, that has a gifting, a calling, an anointing that is every bit as powerful as the guy behind the pulpit. So I believe in this day and hour, God has got a dissatisfaction in people's hearts saying, "Is this all there is to it? Is all there is to me is to make a living?" I hope not. I hope there's more to it. God, is there more to me than just making it to retirement and then figuring that out and having all my ducks in a row so I can take it easy? No, you were made for much more than your job, or your retirement, or the weekends, and definitely more to life than fishing. I know that much. A dissatisfaction. I want to say that a cry in the heart to saying, is there more to it than this, is a good place to be, saints. Because when there seems like there's a dissatisfaction, point number two, leads to death. Because the good news is Malon and Chilion die. And you know, so they die as well, right in the story. But you know what Malon means in the Hebrew? Weak or sick. So I know there's more to this story than, "Here's my son, his name is weak and sick." Chilion means to be frail. Here's my son, Frail. Would you like to hire Frail? Here's my son, weak and sick. Could you got a job for him? See, what I see in there is because of this dissatisfaction in the life. I'm telling you, when things in our lives, nation, are shaking, God is at work. He is at work revealing and cutting away at things that can keep us spiritually weak, sick, frail, and blind. And when a dissatisfaction comes in a soul, what ends up happening for the believer is saying, Lord, what's going on here? By the grace of God, the power of God. Man, we're his children. You get so busy and we get into such a religious or even a church rut that we just keep pounding the same direction. We have our time where we seek the Lord or pray, but still this little dissatisfaction remains. And finally we stop and say, God, what is it? What's going on? And he says, there's a few things I want to cut away. I've got much more for you. But a few things have got to be cut away. It's called maturing. There's a few things I want you to allow me that are sick in your life, that are causing you to hold you back. And I want to set you free from those things. And then when that dissatisfaction, say, Lord, whatever you want to do, I belong to you. And through his grace and his mercy, he starts showing you, hey, I want you to change this. I want you to think differently about this. I want you to give up this. I mean, he has talked to your life. This is holding you back. And this is what is causing that dissatisfaction. I have more for you. I have more for you. He's so loving and kind. He's a good, good father. I'm telling you, a dissatisfaction that I sense in the church and people's lives is a good time to say, Lord, what do you want? I belong to you. I belong to you, Lord. And the Lord will start showing you, saying, let me show you what's causing this dissatisfaction. Oh, he's a good, good father. He'll start showing you things that are still religious. As we were praying this morning, I said, man, Lord, I still got some religious ways about me. The Lord started, as we were praying, it started saying it was all rooted, it's all rooted and grounded in fear, you know, and past things that have happened, past just stuff that still weighs on me. But that dissatisfaction finally comes to a point that we just say, Lord, what is it? We're at a time in the church, I think, where the Lord is saying, what is it? The church needs to say to the Lord, what is it, Lord? What is it that you want to cut away, that you want to show me with your loving kindness? See, we can't do it on our own. It can't become a religious thing where, okay, here's my list of do's and don'ts. No, that's not going to set you free. It'll actually put you in bondage. Amen? Me and Ken were talking about that yesterday. But when we say, Lord, what is causing this dissatisfaction? Then the Spirit of grace comes in and says, let me show you. And then he gives you the ability to cut that away, to drop that, to leave it behind, or whatever it is. And he's so loving and so kind, he just stays there with us. He remembers that we're dust, as the scripture says. He knows that we're born again spirit, but he knows this flesh. See, that's the wonderful thing, is Jesus lived in the flesh but conquered it all. Didn't commit even one sin. He overcame it all and then gave his life on the cross. And you and I are crucified with him. We're dead to sin through him. And as he begins to reveal his goodness to us in that dissatisfaction, say, Lord, I belong to you. I want to keep going forward in you. I want to keep pursuing that which you have for me. But if a sense of dissatisfaction, saints, I'm here to say this morning, for the church is a good thing. In Hebrews 12, 27 through 29, it says, and his voice shook the earth, talking about God then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but all the heaven. This expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which cannot be shaken, as of created things, so that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. There's a whole lot of shaking been going on. There's been things been shaken off in this world. Amen? There's no firm footing you sense just in society, things you can trust in. We've got to put our feet upon Jesus, the rock. Amen? He is our firm foundation. Hallelujah! And then it says, since, therefore, in verse 28, therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let's show gratitude, hallelujah, by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. That's a good thing. He's a consuming fire. You remember John the Baptist who said, hey, I baptize you in water, but he that comes after me will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Amen? He still desires to fill us with his fire even 2,000 years later. Amen? As I've said many times, 2,000 years means nothing to the Lord. The day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. It does not matter. Amen? He is still baptizing people with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So number three, then, is goodbye to hindrances. Goodbye to hindrances. God is always leading us to something new in Christ. When there is a dissatisfaction, I said this, in inner man, God is on the move. These times in one's life can lead to a severing of old ideals. I'm saying it again because I got ahead of myself. Old ways of doing things. Or let me say it this way, the removing of things that are holding us back in areas is called hindrances. So, Naomi's world has been shaken, but she hears there's food. So she hears there's food. The way she'd been doing things and what she'd been relying on had died. The Lord, then, this thing called frailness and sickness and different things in her life that had been holding her back dies due to this thing in their hearts, you know, in her heart saying, man, there must be more. So that dies, and the Naomi's world has been shaken, but she hears there was food. Ruth chapter 1, 6 through 8. So she's going to go back to Israel. Then she arose with her daughter-in-laws to return from the land of Moab, because she has heard in the land of Moab that the Lord has visited his people by giving them food. You know, he always gives us manna, doesn't he? He always gives us spiritual food. Even in an area where you're like, man, I don't know what's going on, or dryness or dissatisfaction, there's always food. There's that part where you stop and say, okay, Lord, what's going on? I belong to you. I know you lead and guide my life. Show me these things. He's so faithful. And then when he shows those things, you say, Lord, I belong to you. Then he starts food, spiritual revelation. For an individual saying, this is where I want you. This is where I'm leading and guiding you. This is the body of Christ, the church that I want you in. He will lead and guide you and tell you those things. Amen? If you're born again, the Spirit of God is in you. So he will lead you and guide you even when it feels like it's dry or even when there's a dissatisfaction, because he's taken you somewhere. So she departed from that place where she was, and her two daughters-in-laws with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. Lost her way. Things had changed. But Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, go return each of you to your mother's house. I said that regardless of where you find yourself right now, God always has bread for you. Do you realize that? We have to pursue it. He always desires to lead us besides rivers of water. He never leaves us or forsakes us. So even if you're in a dry area or difficult time, I want to say this. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. I am his child. I'm not saying that at all. The dissatisfaction when God is saying, I've got more for you. I want to show you some things. I want to mature you. I want to lead and guide you. Amen? Regardless of where you find yourself right now, God is always leading us. And that leads us to the meaning of two more names. The daughter-in-laws, Orpah. The Orpah, that means in the Hebrew, the nape or back of the neck, it means stiff-necked. Ruth means friend or associate, loyal. So here's the thing, when those things are going on in our lives and there's that dissatisfaction, what we do is we make a decision. I'm not backing up, Lord. I'm not going back. I'm not going to live in yesteryear. I'm going to go forward with you. See, it says in Ruth chapter 1, verse 14, and the daughter-in-laws, and they raised their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. See, Orpah went back. She felt secure in those dry areas. In the old ways, her lifestyle was comfortable. She had been accustomed to her world. She'd become fearful. She says, I can't go forward. I'm not even saying that in the natural for a Christian, I'm not saying that that individual was not a Christian or anything. I'm just saying that when God started moving and going forward, Orpah says, I'm going back. I'm right comfortable where I'm at. I'm not going to go forward. I'll stay right there. I'm not interested in moving from here. I'm going to stay right where I'm comfortable. Where Ruth, what, clung to the truth. Ruth 1, 15 through 17 says this. Then she said, behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods and return after, and she says, return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said this, do not plead with me to leave you or to turn back from following you, for where you go, I will go. And where you sleep, I will sleep. Your people shall be my people and your God, my God. Man, she says, I'm going forward. I'm not going to be held and bound back. I'm not going to let those things keep me back. She said, I'm going to go forward. I thank God that we're in a time where God is, he's taking his church again and moving us forward to what it looks like in the American church in this day and this hour. He's doing a new thing. Can you not perceive it? I don't know exactly what that'll look like, but I know that I've had a dissatisfaction the way things have looked like. And so I can say, God, talk to me. What do you want from me? What do you need from me? My life belongs to you. I am a living sacrifice. Whatever you want from me. Lord, I don't want to remain in that dryness. I don't want to remain in that dissatisfaction. Show me. And he is faithful. Oh, how he loves you and I. Oh, how he loves you and I. See, Christ always has a people who say, let's move forward together. But let me say this. This is not what it looks like. It's not on our own. There's no holy hobos. The people that just go on their own and say, hey, God's given me this revelation, this, and show me this and that, but nobody else knows anything about it. It's always with a body. It's always with a purpose. Because if it's outside of a body, who's it going to bless? It can't bless anybody. We can't become detached from the head because we are a body together, living stones. We protect one another. We will not walk in deception when we're together as a body. Amen. Deception comes when you're on your own and nobody can challenge you because your word is a God unto itself. God does not move by himself. He moves with the body. Number two, it will not be at the cost of my family. I will not get involved or do anything anymore that is at the cost of my family. It's me and my family together or it's nothing. Because the most important ministry, if you're married here, the most important ministry you have is your wife. Paul says, hey, if you want to be in full-time ministry and don't want to care for a wife, he says, don't get married. But when you get married, then you're going to have to please your wife and vice versa. Amen? It won't be at the cost of my family. It'll actually be a blessing to my family. It'll actually be nourishment to my family. It'll be strength to my family. Because after all, we are the family of God. Amen? Nobody gets left behind. And it always leads to an inner rest, peace, and joy. I decide anymore we're with ministry, if it leads to something that doesn't have his strength, his peace, his joy behind in it, with it, I'm not going to get involved in it. I'm not going to get involved in it because he gives the strength. Remember Paul, and he says, I worked harder than all of them. Talking about the other disciples, right? He says, but not me, but the grace of God in me. So whatever God has for you and I, it is strengthened and led by the grace of God. By the grace of God. And he'll give you the strength, the ability, the joy, and the peace to walk that out. Amen? 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 So four was make a decision. Number five, time to be stirred, not to be bitter. Time to be stirred, not to be bitter. Ruth 1, 19 through 21. So Ruth comes, she travels back from Moab. Seems like she's lost everything. So they both went on until Ruth and Moab, Ruth and her mother-in-law. So they both went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they had come to Bethlehem, all the city was stirred because of them. And the women said, is this Naomi? But she said to them, Naomi said this, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me and the Almighty has afflicted me?" So you may be going through some things right now. You may have gone through some things. I'm not discounting those. You didn't understand why even, and it has brought you to a dry area in your soul. Or maybe the waters in your soul have just become bitter. I hope not. Become bitter. But as we will see in the coming weeks, our God, amen, our God is a restorer. He's a rewarder. And he's a powerful redeemer. In other words, it is time to be stirred. Even though Naomi was tempted to become embittered, there was a stirring going on around her. Naomi's soul was dry, but at the same time, there was a removing of things that were hindering her, and she had no idea what blessing and provision God was getting ready to pour out on her. What God was getting ready to do, she had no idea what God was getting ready to do. He has prepared great things for us, not just in heaven, but here on earth, saints. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10 as the worship team comes. I love this scripture. Don't you love the promises of God? But it is written, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who loved him, who love him." That's not just talking about heaven. That's talking for now. But God has revealed them to us. How? Through his Spirit. "For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." So she was tempted as she moved on, the things of the past that had happened to her, she was tempted to become embittered. She was tempted to say, "Well, what about that, God? What about that situation?" She had no idea what God had for her in the future. She could not have fathomed what the Redeemer was going to do. And I can tell you this morning, what I'm so blessed about is there's been this dissatisfaction saying, "Lord, is this all there is to it? You've changed my life and the grace, but is this all there is for the church or for my family or for my community?" No. That dissatisfaction is time to say, "Lord, okay, what is it, Lord? What do you want to do? What is hanging on my life that may be sick or maimed or holding me back? I don't want to be held back by anything." And so I feel like there's a lot of things, a dissatisfaction that God is saying, "Hey, look at these things. Man, I love you. I want these things to be removed because I've got so much more for you." And then when Naomi gets into that town, there's a stirring. See, there's a stirring of the Spirit going on right now. There's a stirring of his Holy Spirit of what's he going to do in this day, in this hour. Amen?
Yes.
And so people have to have a decision. I'm going to be embittered about my past, or I'm going to be excited about what you're going to do in the future. Man, he's a redeemer, saints. He's a rewarder. He's a restorer. He loves us. Man, he is for us and not against us. We can say, "Lord, I don't know why some of these things happen, but I'm going to trust you that all things work together for good to them that love you and are called according to his purpose." Hallelujah. So we thank you this morning for purpose, Father God, in Jesus' name, in our lives, Father God. As we belong to you, this dissatisfaction is dealt with and the Lord moves us forward in him by the Holy Spirit. I can't wait to see what he has for the church of Jesus Christ. There'll be some that are going to stay back and turn around saying, "I'm not going forward." There are going to be some of those saying, "I don't want to deal with anything. I'm happy where I'm at." But there's going to be a group of people saying, "I can't wait to see what God's going to do in the future." Amen. And I'm going to be a part of it. So Lord, thank you for that dissatisfaction. You're going to deal with that in our hearts. You're going to place new beginnings in us. And the Redeemer is going to restore things that have been eaten where the cankerworm and the locust has eaten things. God is going to restore because he is faithful to his word. He's a good, good Father. Can you stand up with me this morning? Do you love him today? Father, we love you. We worship you today. Father, I pray that during this week, Lord, that areas of dissatisfaction in our life, you say, "Lord, what is it? Show me. Because I want to move forward in you. Because I want to move forward in you. Because I want to move forward in you. because you've got things for me yet. It's not too late, and I'm not going to allow myself to get embittered. I'm not going to allow myself to start talking about, well, what about that? What about that? I'm looking forward to how God is going to redeem that, restore that, and things, and His goodness and kindness are going to appear in my life in things I could not even imagine. Father, how we love You. We worship You. We praise You. Father, we thank You for the body of Christ. Just pray for the church for a minute. Say, just pray for His church. Oh, how He loves His church. Oh, there's a lot of things that are, I'm sure, that are wrong in His church, but it still belongs to Him. Lord, we thank You for Your church. We thank You, Father God, for directing and leading the church. We thank You for new beginnings. We thank You for breaking a spirit of religion in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank You for breaking those things that hold us back as we move forward in the grace and the goodness and the wisdom and the truth of God. We thank You, Lord, that this church will be a part of that. And we ask, Lord, that many other churches in the area, Father God, would be in the same boat saying, God, we're moving forward together. How we love You, Father God. Oh, how You love us, Father God. As a people being stirred into the things of God. We can't go backwards. There's nothing to go back. We can't stay where we're at because it just becomes mud. But we can move forward in Him. And the Lord will deal with that dissatisfaction in your life. In Jesus' name. And so we thank You for that, Father, this morning. This morning. If you have any desire to come up just to the front and want to pray, feel free. Pray. But allow the Lord to minister to you this week. Because He's a good, good Father. Lord, how we love You. So for me and my house, we're going to move forward. However that looks, however the Holy Spirit deals with me, my family, we're not going to stay in any dissatisfaction. The Lord's going to show us, and we're going to move forward. How about you, saints? So we thank You for that today, Father. How we love You. We worship You and honor You. In the name of Jesus, the name above all names. In the name of Jesus, every demon has to flee. The spirit of truth drives out lies. We thank You for truth in the house today. And we love You, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, hallelujah. We love You, Lord.
A thousand generations and your family and your children and the children and the children may His favor be upon you, and a thousand generations, amen, and your family and your children and the children and the children, may His favor be upon you, and a thousand generations and your family and your children and the children and the children, may His favor upon you, and a thousand generations in your family, in your children, and the children, and all His presence. May His presence go before you, and behind you, and beside you, all around you, and within you. He is with you, He is with you, and upon you, in the